Hello, and thanks for being with us here on the New Life Show, a series of talks with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Tal Mandelbaum and Moshe. Our subject today is the collective memory. Each of us has a memory, but there is also a collective memory. So we'd like to understand, what is it? How does it work? Be with us. Tal, please. Yeah, like Oren says, we have our individual memory, but we also belong to some group, society, nation that has a memory, a collective memory of its own. And this memory, it's a kind of flexible system with symbols, signs, culture, stories, history. Even though it's not necessarily history the way it was, but the memory that the people have from that history. And it's also said that there are different factors that communicate this memory to the people, like the educational system, different memorial days that someone chooses, and eventually it forms some kind of system of a collective memory in the people. So we'd like to understand, what is this consciousness, this collective memory that a nation has, and how is it related to each and every one of us? We see it from life, that people that live together for a long time, even if they're not from the same nation, then as a result of the different events they go through in life, they have a memory from what they went through, and as a result of going through these different states, being in them together, and maybe each of them interpreted these states differently, but they also have a general impression. And later we see how each of them was impressed by these things and how each of them was included in these things, and then they integrate with each other, with the things that happened yesterday and the day before and so on. And this way, they create a certain memory for themselves based on what they went through together. And this already helps them to relate to the past and the future, not in a collective way, because it's not a collective yet, but in a way that each understands what the other is going through. And anyone can say that he can imagine how the others will accept new things, suppose, things that they'll have to go through. This is how we get to know our environment. This is how we get to know other people, according to the measure to which we went through things together. If we're talking about someone completely new, or a new nation, or a new country that we just discovered, then we can't say anything. What do you mean? Because we have no experience. It's all based on experience. This is regarding the memory. Besides that, because every nation was born from some progenitors, then every nation, because they came from those progenitors, has some kind of a genetical memory from those parents. What is this genetic memory? How does it work, and how does it pass from one generation to the next? We can't exactly say, but we see that that's how it is from experience. And suppose the Chinese nation went through thousands of generations and they still remain Chinese, and even if you take them to some other place, still they have something from that Chinese people, including even habits, different inclinations, meaning it influences these genes, what we call reshimot in the wisdom of Kabbalah. And they influence a person's entire internality, and this is all in all what we call the memory. And it's not exactly the memory, because no one remembers what happened 1,000 years ago, but it's already recorded in the genes and the hormones and other inner phenomena that exists deep inside the body. but doesn't necessarily belong to the memory. You can say memory because every cell has a memory too. But these are more complex forms, I'd say, hidden. And this is what every nation has. And what exactly is it? What is exactly embedded in us? What are these memories? What's exactly embedded in us over generations? What we went through it in our desire, in our substance. And this desire, it only develops from one generation to the next. And as it develops from one generation to the next, it carries with it different impressions. The impressions, they could be positive and negative, one way or another. Things that were good for the parents could be bad for the children and vice versa. Bala Sulam writes about it in the article, The Freedom. And therefore, these memories, it's something that comes and goes, but still remains. And there are environmental conditions, or maybe some internal conditions, that surface these memories, and they once again begin to determine a new behavior for even an entire nation. Where are these collective memories registered in a certain nation? It's not collective, again. It's a memory of a nation. Collective is something else. You can say collective, but it's not related to the people of Israel, and therefore I don't really want to talk about it. These memories, they exist in the Reshimot. The memory cells. What are these Reshimot, the memory cells? That from one generation to the next, we convey in our will to receive force fields that form around the will to receive. And this is how we're drawn from one generation to the next. What does it mean that from generation to generation we pass on force fields in our will to receive? What is our will to receive and how do you pass force fields through it? These are things that are unrelated to our body. It's a person's spirituality. Our desire is something spiritual and therefore it doesn't exactly belong to the body. It's outside of the animate body. There is a desire that's related to the animate body, and there is a desire which is a bit higher than that, a human desire. Desire for what? Desire for what? It's the desire to receive pleasure. Receive pleasure? Yeah. From different sources. And a nation has such a collective desire? Of course. And it's possible to convey force fields through such a collective desire? No, the desire itself is a force field. And we can influence this desire by the power of light. This is something that's unrelated to what each and every nation has. So how is this thing formed in the history of every nation? They go through suffering and happy good times and they develop. How does this desire form? It's the destiny of each and every nation that's in accordance with its spiritual root. You said that every time it leads that nation to a new kind of behavior, meaning the way my nation behaved in the past, it has to do with how I'll behave. All in all, we're small operated animals. There is a general will to receive, and it is divided between different parts. And we as if dress in this desire with our body, with our corporeal mind and heart. And because this will to receive is divided into many parts, then we also feel ourselves separate, divided, even far from each other. So in the will to receive, besides each and every part, each and every detail, feeling itself as something per se, but in them, they're bigger bodies, like assemblies, like kind of colonies. Yeah, that these are large bodies, large integrations, even though that these are individual parts, but that there's some kind of closeness between them, proximity. And the will to receive, a certain will to receive, that is, that exists as the collection of small individual desires, this is actually the spiritual structure of a nation. And this way, there are 70 nations in the general will to receive. And each of them has a character of their own, memory of their own, events of their own that they go through, and so on. Because all in all, the general will to receive has to move toward a certain goal, which is connection of all differences, but this is something for the future. What is the role of the collective memory of every nation? Does this charge have a certain role? To keep the nation for some time as a nation. But probably, and this is something that we can see in our time, there are many changes in this. There are different integrations between nations and assimilations of nations and other nations and so on. And this dates back to ancient times. Does a collective memory of a nation include only what that nation went through up till now? Or does it also include different stops that are related to the future of that nation, of what they're supposed to reach? Of course, everything exists in that memory, meaning also what they're supposed to go through in the future. Yeah. And how does what's written in the collective memory of a certain nation influence what they're going through right now? I can't say it influences for sure, necessarily, but what's the relation between the things and each and every one? There are many details here. But, of course, only the future that's already written in that memory determines what process will each and every nation go through until it realizes its future. What kind of things are written in the memory? Little things are also big things, events, God forbid, traumas, wars, down to everyone's last detail, and also of the collective, also of the collective, of that nation, corporeally wise. Why is it important for things to be written down in detail in that memory? Because that's all there is. If they're not written down, they won't be. Yeah, but you know, they're like summaries. No. We have to understand that everything functions only according to the memory and what's written in it. All in all, it's called reshimot, meaning it's not the corporeal memory that we imagine when we talk about the culture of a people. Not at all. What is it exactly then, what exists in the collective memory of a certain people? The collective memory. There is a memory there about the part that is called a nation. There is the role of this nation regarding other nations, and details about each and every one. That's all there is. It's the memory that determines everything. Besides it, there's no one or nothing that does or controls things. To us, it seems that there's matter and that it does something, but what does it do? Inside it works that same memory, those same rishimot, plural for rishimo. Is a person's life written down in this general memory? Meaning, is it important for the collective? Does this general memory influence the collective? Does it influence man? Yes. Meaning, if I was born to a certain nation, so I understand that immediately I get this package with all of the history of that nation? Of course, you can't disconnect. Even if physically you disconnect, internally you can't. I have a question. If I won't be told that I belong to a certain people, will that collective memory of that people still influence me? Of course. Doesn't matter whether you're told about it or not. Suppose I won't be told anything about it. Won't help. It still works in me. Of course. So, why is there no awareness about it? What do you need it for? It'll only confuse you. Yeah, but if I don't want to make mistakes, learn from the past, has nothing to do with the memory. It has to do with your individual behavior regarding what's revealed in you. All the information exists about things that were, that will be, but I have to experience myself as completely disconnected from this thing. If you'll be able to use it correctly, it'll become revealed as information that you can use. What does it mean that a person starts to use the collective memory, meaning that he starts to influence his own destiny and the destiny of others? It's good. It's good. Give it to a little child. What will he do? Why is it good? Why do you think that you're already a mature woman and that you have the mind and understanding as to what to do? You wanna. No, I mean, the only thing is that I don't understand what it is in order to want it. True. First of all, you have to develop. So, you're saying that there is a certain plan in the memory that develops us up to a place where eventually we ourselves will be able to acknowledge that system that's developing us. Yeah. So, what is the role of the memory? Its role is to develop us to understand that we have to ascribe much importance to our inner connection. What do you mean by our inner connection and our ties? That in all people, and also in the inanimate, vegetative, and the animate, but especially on the speaking degree, there are ties that were like in a field. It's this memory field. And this is where we all are, interconnected. And this is how we have to find ourselves, feel, understand, behave accordingly, that because we belong to this one memory field and it's mutual and we influence each other, even though that we don't physically, but we do internally. How? Because we're all in one system. So how do we influence each other? Can you give me an example? For the better or for the worse? Yeah, but can you give me an example? It depends on how or what I think about others. Do I take them into consideration? How does it influence the general field of the memory? Because through that field of the general memory, I'm connected with everyone and I influence everyone. So if, God forbid, I think something bad about someone, you think bad things about everyone for sure. So what do I cause in this general collective field of memory? That you're as if disconnected from them. You harm them, but in a very small measure. Can you explain? The system is built in such a way that the more we want to do good to others, the more connected to them we are, and we influence them. To the measure to which we want to harm them, we also have a detrimental influence over them, but it's much smaller, because the good is always multiplied by 620, and the evil isn't. This is one thing. Another thing is that we can develop our ties if our intention is good. But if our intention is bad, we can't develop these ties, these connections. But still, we have the ability to corrupt the system. Why is the good multiplied in the system of the collective memory? Because we have to reach a state where we go back to the good general system of good relations, ties, and then everyone bestows 620 times more than the measure to which he can harm others with his ego, and then we build a good new system of relations. What kind of safety valves are there in this general field of memory that decrease the bad influence? You said that if you have a bad influence on something, there are these reducing mechanisms. What are they? It's called the tzimtzum, restriction, meaning that if I want to harm the other, I can only harm him on the corporeal, physical level, and not on the spiritual level. What does it mean on the spiritual level? On the spiritual level, meaning that I don't have the spiritual power to harm the other. You can harm a person on the corporeal level or on the spiritual level? Yes. And the spiritual harm is kept in that field so it won't happen? I can't activate it, meaning I can't harm. Right. I can harm, but only on the corporeal level. And if I could suppose harm someone on the spiritual level, then it would have been as if I'm creating distortions in the memory field itself toward that person, and therefore I have no access to it in order not to distort that field itself. Yeah. I'm trying to understand what exactly are we talking about, because we don't feel these things. I mean, we have our personal memories, the memory of the nation, we have history, culture. What exactly are we talking about? What is this super memory? It's a computer, it's a system. This is the true inner system of nature that exists and sustains itself. And only the external form that we as if exist in changes. But that memory, that general field of information, this exists, and this is the internality of nature. This is the essence of nature. And its essence is information. It's information, but besides information, there are many more details. Yeah, it sounds like many, many details. Right? It's a very big computer, simply, extremely, in which all of us, with all of our memories, reshimot, actions, everything, everything about us, we're all in there, inside that computer. And why do we need that computer? What is its role? That's called reality. Very simple. And we exist in this reality. This reality is controlled by one force that ties this entire reality together. And this reality is operated by a force called light. And the role of all these is to reach a state where this reality eventually will go through a process and will become connected in all its details to the complete mechanism. It sounds as if this system is already very complicated and big, and the goal is for its parts to develop and connect to it. For its parts to connect, development is connection. And it's us, actually. Yeah. And that's all there is. So suppose each of us that is right now unaware of this thing that exists, so to speak, above him. What are we connected to without being aware of it? We're connected to the upper communication system that includes all the different possible types of connection that can exist among us. And why don't we grasp this? We have neither the mental nor the emotional capacity because this network exists in laws that are our opposite. What kind of laws? Laws of bestowal, love, completion. And our nature is the complete opposite of this network. So this network is sustaining us in the meantime, for us to exist in it for some time, until we will be able to sustain it willingly. And how do we know that such a network exists, that such a computer exists? Someone does have access to this network, to this web? Yes. Who? Those that are so-called Israel. There is one nation from all nations, if we can call it a nation, that are representatives from all the nations that can be this kind of connector, communicator that connects between all the nations and the general force called the light that operates the entire system. Most of the Israelis I know, I'm pretty sure that they don't know about this network. Of course they don't. Who does? Who has access to this system? Only the Kabbalists. That what allows them to access the system? Because they've undergone such corrections that they can't do any harm to this system in any way. Like at any important workplace, you have entrance requirements. Yeah. And the Kabbalists that can enter this system, this network, what do they do with the information that they reveal? They work for the benefit of the system, to hasten human development, for humanity to be included in the system in a good and nice way. Dr. Leitman, this was extremely interesting. Thank you very much. Thank you, Tal. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.